from Death Valley on the water.
The flagship station for Clemson football.
And we're keeping himself from right side, getting the numbers. Crosses the 25, across the 20, on his feet to the 15-yard line goes Chase Rice. Hello, number 7.
We are WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
Hour number 2 of Out of Bounds begins here on 105.5 The Roar. We've got Brian Edwards, our Vegas expert, coming up in moments. This hour of Out of Bounds is brought to you in part by Toyota of Easley. Toyota of Easley, located right in the middle of Easley off of Highway 123. They have tons of new and used inventory in stock. Every new Toyota at Toyota of Easley comes with a 2-year, 25,000-mile free maintenance plan. Every used Toyota comes with a 7-year, 100,000-mile warranty. They also give away $1,000 every 2 weeks at Toyota of Easley. All you have to do to enter to win is test drive a new or used vehicle. Check them out online today at toyotaofeasley.com. You can also give them a call, 864-855-2233, or just go see them today at Toyota of Easley off of Highway 123.
Let's go to Brian Edwards now, Vegas Insider. He is the senior handicapper at vegasinsider.com. He's also at brianedwardssports.com. You can hit him on Twitter at VegasBEdwards as well. What's up, Brian?
What's happening, Kelly and Qualt? How y'all doing?
We're doing great. This is just a personal question because this is something we talked about on. We've talked about Jalen Hurts all week, and I kept seeing these odds that came out on from various bookmakers, and they would have listed Maryland, TCU, Miami, Houston, and who was the other one? Auburn. They'd have them all listed. He visits Oklahoma, and we had a discussion like Monday and then again maybe Tuesday or Wednesday, and Kelly's like, Qualk, you visit Oklahoma. And I'm like, well, Vegas normally knows, and they're not even letting you bet on Jalen Hurts. Was I just looking at the wrong places, or was Vegas blindsided by Jalen Hurts going to Oklahoma?
Well, you know, Vegas doesn't often put odds of that sort up. It's more the offshores globally. And probably which one you were looking at, it was probably betonline.ag, because I noticed their odds were way different than what mybookie.ag had. And mybookie.ag had Oklahoma at 12-1. And I actually know of a handicapping buddy who tweeted out his winning ticket. He had taken Oklahoma 12-1 and somebody else at like 6-1. And so he won. But Online had some very different, like, my bookie had TCU as the favorite, whereas the Bet Online had a different school as the favorite. Maybe Houston was the favorite. So they might not have had Oklahoma, but the one website, my bookie, did have Oklahoma at 12-1.
Okay, that's all I wanted to know, because it just seemed very odd to me that was the case. So
right.
I'm glad we cleared that up. Last week, everybody was taking the underdogs, and I know we talked about it to a certain degree. And then the games were mostly blowouts. To what degree were you surprised at what transpired last week in the NFL playoffs with all these trendy underdog picks, and yet you hit a couple right on our show for sure?
Well, I had a rough weekend.
Yeah.
The Chargers let me down. Fortunately, the Eagles came through for me. And fortunately, that was the last one going. And I did it in my degenerate way. Just wrote it up a little extra. It worked out, but it wasn't very smart. But, Saturday was brutal, man. The Colts just got it put on them early and often. And I guess in hindsight, I should have thought more about the fact that, the Colts and Chargers were playing on the road for the third straight week, which, during the regular season, I put a lot of stock into. I just felt like both teams were so hot that, I'd play them again, although I'd lose again. But, the underdogs had been rolling, but it came to a crashing halt last week with the exception of the Eagles.
Well, Brian, we're not going to sit here and just focus on the past, all right? No worries about it. We're going to look forward. We're going to look ahead. You like the Saints. as a 3-point favorite over the Rams at home. Why do you like the Saints in that one?
Well, it's a great coaching matchup. I don't like Sean Payton personally, but I do think he's a great coach. We won't get into that. He has to be just here where I live. But sorry, my falconness. But anyway, he is a heck of a coach, and as is the Rams coach. But I think we have the edge at the quarterback department. I don't necessarily trust Jared Goff. Now, he played pretty good last week, but down the stretch without Cooper Kupp, he only had a 6-6 TDINT ratio in the last five regular season games. Breeze and Payton are 6-0 straight up, just straight up at home. During six postseason games in their post-Katrina era, which is going more than a decade now. They beat them 45-35 at home during the regular season, and I was on New Orleans that game. They had a huge, huge lead. The Rams rallied back and scared me, but New Orleans got a touchdown to give them some breathing room late and covered as a one outright by 10 as a 1.5-point underdog, 45-35. I just think we've got home field. I trust Breeze. As opposed to Goff, I think the coaching's a wash. I mean, Aaron Donald scares me, but Drew Brees is just so good and so smart and so quick. He was getting rid of the ball and whatnot, and Peyton's play calling. I'm going to go to the Saints. Now, you got to be at -3. Now, some books might be at 3.5. You need to buy that half point to 3, and unless if they're, you know, making you pay -140 juice or worse, in that case, I would – still buy it to 3, but don't risk a lot if they're making you pay that kind of juice.
You know, it's interesting. One of my buddies texted me today, and he was asking me about what I would do with these games. I said I would stay as far away from Pats Chiefs as possible. I'll get to that in a second. But one reason I like the Saints is, isn't this like the next step in Jared Goff's maturation? Like, he lost a game he probably shouldn't have lost last year. Now he gets a win, but now he's got to go on the road and beat a team. I mean, isn't this just sort of the natural run of things? For that reason, I thought this line would be bigger, like around 5 or 6 points in favor of New Orleans. You agree or disagree with that?
No, I agree. I wrote down 5.5, and easy on my Falcons quaff. We destroyed Goff and the Rams in the playoffs last year, bro. 26-13, and we had set up with like 5 short field goals.
Anyway, that's true. That's very true. It's fair. Go ahead.
But I was just going to say, Goff on the road, man. This is a tough place to play, especially this time of year. I agree with everything you're saying. I think the Saints should be favored by more. But at the same time, I definitely still think you need to buy that half point to 3. I would hate for anybody to lose if they end up winning by 3.
And then Chiefs and Pats, I just said I'm staying as far away from this as possible. I mean, do you have a lean at all on this? I feel like this game is just a complete and total question mark, just one big fat question mark over everything.
Yeah, I mean, I think you got to give Belichick, you know, a pretty substantial edge in the coaching department, and that just really scares me. I mean, I think that all things equal, that the Chiefs are probably the play. But, I mean, Belichick put on such a coaching clinic last week. He's just so good in these games. And, you know, Andy Reid, he went to so many NFC championship games with Donovan McNabb, and he only won one of them. I'm just going to hold off. Maybe I'll decide something by Sunday. Maybe there'll be some line movement or some weather developments that maybe get me. But right now, I'm the same as you. I just don't want anything to do with it right now.
Brian, we know the NFL is on everyone's mind this weekend, but we've got really two huge college basketball games and a lot more. But these two big matchups we want to talk about, Kentucky and Auburn, being played in Auburn, a top 15 matchup. I can't find a line on this. Maybe it's a little too early, but what are your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, the lines won't be out until probably, 3 or 4 o'clock Eastern tomorrow. I'm thinking we're going to see Auburn as a short favorite. Kentucky's in nice form right now, but obviously a young team on the road. They got a nice win against Georgia the other night after trailing early. But I think we'll see Auburn favored by, I won't be shocked if they're favored by 5 or 6, but my line, I'm thinking more like 4 on that one. That's 4 o'clock on ESPN. And yeah, that's one of two really good ones on ESPN, two of many good ones on ESPN this Saturday.
No doubt about that. Visit with Brian Edwards, VegasInsider.com, @VegasBEdwards on Twitter. You can go to BrianEdwardsSports.com. If you go to BrianEdwardsSports.com, you can find, and I can't believe we've got these out already, with still three playoff games to go. But we have odds to win next year's Super Bowl. And actually, the Rams at 6-1, I'm a little surprised that they're the favorite here, given that people expect them to lose this weekend. What do you make of some of the interesting numbers that you see from Westgate here?
Yeah, I was a little surprised to see the Rams favored as well. I would probably have to go the Chiefs' way. I think they can probably find a running back in the draft or free agency and then build on their defense. But, you know, they've just got amazing skill players. So anyway, Rams are 6-1 favorite. Chiefs are 7-1. Saints 8-1. You know, you got to have Pats there pretty high. I get the Chargers being 12-1 with, you know, Derwin James and just Bosa and Melvin Ingram up front. And just a nice nucleus. And there's no reason to think Philip Rivers doesn't have a good two or three more solid years left in him. So the Bears are 12-1. Steelers 14-1. Vikings and Packers 16-1. I'm really not sure what the Packers were doing with their coaching move there. Well, I guess we'll see. Eagles are 20-1. We'll see where Nick Foles lands. Your Colts are 20-1. Ravens 20-1. Cowboys 21. Falcons 30-1. And yeah, you can check out the rest on my website, BrianOwensports.com.
In addition to all the NFL, we do have another big-time college basketball game coming up this weekend after the Kentucky-Auburn game, Duke and Virginia. This game is at Duke. Obviously, we know Duke is a little banged up. Virginia has looked really good, Brian. I've been telling Kwok, I feel like I'm being sucked back into this Virginia portal of, you know, they're going to win it all again, or they're not. They haven't done it before, but going to pick them again. What do you think about this Duke-UVA game this Saturday? What do you think that line will be?
Well, before that, I get a sense that, you know, being the first to lose to a 16 seed, that there might be a happy ending to that story.
Yeah.
I really think Virginia is super duper good this year, and I think they're going to make a deep, deep run in March. As for Saturday, obviously Trey Jones is out indefinitely with a shoulder injury. For Duke, you would think Cam Reddish, who I don't know if he's got the flu, whatever it is, this illness that kept him out the other night. He's listed as questionable right now, but obviously we're 48 hours out, so I would think he'll be better by then. And so let's assume Cam Reddish is going to play. If that's the case, I think Duke, being such a public team, will probably be favored by 5 or 6. If Reddish, for whatever, you know, if he's still sick and he's not going to play, maybe more like 3, 3.5. And I tell you what, if Virginia is an underdog of more than 5 points, I'll likely be on the Cavs. And maybe a little money line as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, that seems like a gift. Because here's what I'm thinking about that. People will, like you said, it's a public team. You get the Zion factor where people are going to bet Zion. To me, Virginia's defense, the first time Zion sees it, I think Zion's going to freak out. I think he's going to elbow at least one guy. Like, he may get ejected from this game.
Foul trouble.
Yeah, I mean, I just kind of see. I mean, I think Virginia without John, I mean, I think they could blow him out. I get what you're saying. I feel like that would be that if Duke, like, if at tip-off Duke is still a favorite, then you know it's a public team. Because there's no way people are watching basketball are taking Duke, right?
Wait,
I said there's no way people are watching. Like, people are watching the games and saw how they play without Trey Jones. There's no way they would take Duke, particularly if you have to lay points. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, Zion's obviously healthy with the eye, playing pretty well the other night. But if Reddish is good to go, Duke is undoubtedly going to be favored. And if Reddish is good to go, I think they'll probably be favored by 5. But, no, we're not disagreeing, Kwok.
Right, sure.
I like Virginia. Oh, I hope they're favored by 10. Please, by goodness,
yes.
All means, favor them by 10 for all I care. Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's Virginia. Now, if they're only 3-point dogs, I'm not positive I'll be on them. But, you know, if they're catching 5 or so, I'll definitely be on UVA.
All right, the final question for you. UFC, this weekend, the ESPN era begins. I know you're excited about that. You've got to play on UFC. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so after the UVA Duke game, they'll have the prelims on ESPN. Now, the main card will be later in the night, and that's only on ESPN+. But the headliner of the prelims, which will be the last fight on ESPN proper, if you will, is one of my favorite fighters ever, Donald Cowboy Cerrone, and he's a plus 160 underdog to a young kid undefeated out of St. Louis, Alexander the Great is his nickname, Hernandez. But Cerrone's a plus 160 dog, and I like Cerrone to win at those generous underdog odds, and I also like under 1.5 rounds, which is plus 130, and with over-unders on UFC, it's basically a round is 5 minutes, so if you go under 1.5 rounds, the fight has to be finished before 2 minutes and 30 seconds into round two. So I like both of those plus money bets on Cowboy Cerrone plus 160 and the under at plus 130. And I also like Nebraska tonight +2 at home against Sparty. Nebraska is undefeated at home, 6-1 against the spread, and they're 26-1 against the spread in the last 27 home games. I like them to upset Tom Izzo's team tonight.
Woo! How about that? Nebraska team that we saw firsthand in Little John just a few weeks ago, playing very, very well. Brian, we appreciate it, my man. Always a pleasure to visit with you. Check out Brian's great work at BrianEdwardsSports.com. All kinds of great stuff there for your ears and for your eyes. Also, VegasInsider.com. He's a senior handicapper there. At Vegas B. Edwards on Twitter. Appreciate it, my man. We'll do it again next week.
Thanks, y'all. Have a great weekend.
All right, you do the same. Brian Edwards joining us on the program. A lot of good stuff there from Brian. A lot of good stuff. And a lot of good analysis. You know, sometimes he gives you numbers and picks on the numbers. That was a lot of analysis. We asked him a little bit of hard-hitting questions on there, and I thought he did, I thought the listeners were served. The listeners were served very well with that. All right, we have some stats from bowl season. And we've been trying to get to this for like 3 days.
We have that. We also have stats from these last couple quarterback classes in terms of who's transferred, who hasn't won starting jobs. It's really interesting. I think top 20 recruits from each of these classes.
Really interesting.
Really interesting.
We'll get into both of those. Stay with us. More to come out of bounds in a moment.
Do you have a used vehicle for sale? LKQ Pick Your Part is always buying used cars and trucks. Any condition. LKQ Pick Your Part wants your vehicle. We are constantly updating our inventory and will buy your used car, truck, van, or SUV. We handle the paperwork and you get paid. It's that easy. Call today. 1-800-962-2277. That's 1-800-962-2277. Not running? LKQ Pick Your Part will have your vehicle towed for you. Log on to our website for a free quote or call 1-800-962-2277 today and get paid.
Have you ever looked at your carpet after a cleaning and thought, man, what is that gunk and residue they left behind? Do you worry about the harsh chemicals that cleaning companies use that could harm your loved ones? Well, worry no more. Zero Res is the standout carpet cleaner brand you can count on. Their patented no-residue cleaning system leaves no man behind on your beautiful home. Call today at 864-588-7300. Zero Res. Spell it backwards or forwards, it's the right way to clean.
I'm Kristen Bennett. The professionals at Bennett Equipment rent and sell link belt excavators at 3 upstate locations, Greenville, Spartanburg, and now in Seneca. Link belt equipment sets the industry standard for performance and reliability. Bennett also rents, sells, and services many other types of construction equipment with the service you expect and deserve. Call today, 864-277-7272, or visit us at BennettEquipment.net. And remember, if you need to rent it from Bennett.
It's 2019 and Scores Jewelers is finally in its new home on Civic Center Boulevard in Anderson. Scores Jewelers has grown into the premier jewelry store in the area thanks to you. And guys, if it's time to show her that she's the one you want to make memories with, we're here to make finding the right ring easy. Right now we have special 36 months no interest financing available, and at Scores you can compare diamonds side by side to see the difference for yourself. And with one of the largest selections of mountings in the area, finding the right style has never been easier. And best of all, if we don't have it, we can make it specially for you. We have custom design in-house to create whatever she wants. Of all the things we offer, the most important is guidance and expertise. We're here to help make finding the right ring easy and enjoyable. The one thing we don't offer at Scores is high pressure. We want buying a ring to be a pleasant experience. Yes, we'd like to make a sale, but we'd rather make a friend. Friends come back. I'm William Nichols, and I'd like to personally invite you to our new location and experience for yourself the difference at Scores Jewelers.
I'm Richard Thompson of Thompson & King Law Firm, and I believe that every person has a God-given desire to work. That's why I take Social Security and workers' compensation cases very seriously, because most folks don't really want to think they're disabled. They hesitate to file for disability, and when they're turned down, they hesitate to appeal their case. But they are disabled. If you're presently unable to work on a daily basis, even if you don't fully understand the cause, come see me. I'll take your case seriously. I know you do.
The Thompson & King Law Firm, 222-0200, or online at thompsonking.com.
Make your next corporate party or team-building event one to remember with Local Q. Featuring a wide-ranging menu of mouth-watering, in-house smoked barbecue, signature craft cocktails, 25 rotating drafts, and hundreds of classic games to play. Local Q is the place to break the ice with coworkers, friends, and family. We'll craft you the perfect menu featuring all the Local Q favorites, whether for 50 people or 250. Local Q has the room for you. Reserve your venue today by visiting localq.com.
The flagship station for Clemson football.
Ward takes a snap under pressure. Got him, and down he goes as Bryant gets his second sack.
We are WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
Get on my elevator. Baby, we're going up. Give me that now and later. I can't get enough. So much to discover. Please don't stop me now. Every time I touch it, they're front of the ground. Let them go. All the ones trying to get
Hour two continues out of bounds. You know, we never got to your hump day headlines. Do you want to?
Yes.
What are you most passionate about right now? We have some time right now. Open phone, 654-ROARS, the number 654-7627. If you like to get in the Northing Communication phone lines. But what are you most passionate about? Just share that with the world.
Well, Kwok, I'm glad you asked. I have three hump day headlines. One has to do with college basketball. One has to do with Jim Harbaugh at Michigan.
Oh, boy.
A startling trend with Harbaugh and his recruiting.
Okay.
And then one is a Florida man story. So it's up to you. Which one do you want?
Oh, give me... I'll take Harbaugh news for 200, all Alex. Right.
Okay, so as I was gathering some hump day headlines yesterday, I saw this headline, Kwok. Seventh grade quarterback Isaiah Marshall gets scholarship offer from Michigan. And I was like, seventh grade? I mean, this kid is 13 years old, right? I read more. Isaiah Marshall, a seventh grade quarterback at MacArthur Academy in Southfield, Michigan, has been offered a scholarship to play at Michigan, according to his dad. Wolverines coach Jim Harbaugh extended the offer after watching tape of the 13-year-old signal caller while visiting the school searching for high school prospects. Dude's in middle school, so you were searching for high school prospects and you offered a 13-year-old kid. The quote from his dad says, "It was definitely unexpected, especially when you're just looking for feedback on how to get better." That came out of it. Harbaugh called me because I was on my way over there, and he was there early with my brother. They called me on the phone and asked me if it was okay, and of course I said yes. So Jim Harbaugh offered a 13-year-old kid a quarterback. And so you think, well, that's interesting, right? Maybe this is just a one-time thing. You know, maybe he thinks this kid is really, really talented. Then I see this headline. Six times Jim Harbaugh and Michigan have offered a scholarship to a middle schooler.
Six?
Six times. Maybe this is the problem. Maybe you're offering them scholarships before their voice is even deep, you know? Like, seriously. You're offering these scholarships before these kids are even in high school.
Is there such a thing as a prepubescent scholarship offer? Because
at Michigan.
That's what Michigan has been doing.
So, according to this article, he offered a 13-year-old quarterback who's in the 2023 recruiting class. He offered him when he was 13. He offered a quarterback when he was 13, when he was 8th grade, who's in the 2022 class. At the time, he was 6'1", 170 pounds, and he offered him. He also offered a linebacker who was 15 years old, so maybe not in middle school. He was in 8th grade, but maybe old for his age. Offered an 8th grade quarterback in 2016 and offered an 8th grade linebacker in 2015. So this is what Jim Harbaugh does. He offers children scholarships to Michigan.
Honest to goodness, this is not just because Dabo's the coach here, but how Dabo does, and you know the story now that people have been telling and retelling about Trevor Lawrence coming and He says, "Nope, I don't offer until the junior year. I don't offer till the junior year. I'm not extending this offer. I'm not doing it. Even for you, I'm not doing it." And it, like, Trevor loved it, and his family loved it, and so it made him love Clemson more, or whatever the story is. Harbaugh's just throwing around these offers. You know who else used to do this? Tim Floyd used to do this garbage at USC for basketball. Let me say this. This is like the flash and dash coach that ultimately gets fired, that
right.
starts offering middles at sixth graders and seventh grade. Lane Kiffin was offering middle schoolers. I mean, this is not what serious coaches and serious programs do, offering middle schooler scholarships in basketball and football.
I get the idea that you want to be the first one to show interest or the first one to offer, and maybe that means they'll stay loyal to you, right? Because from what I understand, Clemson, with Deshaun Watson, they didn't offer Deshaun when he was 12, but they offered him early on in the process, and Deshaun appreciated that, and that was one of the main reasons he chose Clemson. So that's part of this theory here, I'm sure, but these kids are 13 years old. 13. He said he liked about this 13-year-old kid, Isaiah Marshall. This is what Harbaugh said. It was the youngest person he ever offered. He liked what he saw in the film. He liked his anticipation as far as throwing kids open and reading coverages, ball placement, touch. He can read progressions. He can throw guys open. He's poised. He's 13.
He's 12. He's not, no. Does he have a better arm than Jalen Hurts? Is that what they're judging by? Is Harbaugh looking at his depth chart going, God, you know, half our quarterback depth chart can't even throw. This kid can throw. Sign him up.
Chad the mailman on the text line. Does Harbaugh go recruiting in a big van with a bag of candy? That's terrible. That's terrible, Chad.
That is not great.
So yeah, Harbaugh's over here offering kids that were born in 2005 right now.
Let's say Harbaugh gets fired in 2 years and a new staff comes in.
This kid will only be 15, by the way.
So the new staff comes in and they're like, all right, we need to call these recruits and just talk to them. Okay. Like, we need to watch some of their junior, senior film. We need to evaluate these guys. And you see just the random, like, in the file of all the kids that are committed or offered or whatever that Michigan's got, you see the file, and it's like such and such middle school. And you're like, hey, who put the middle school file in here? What's this? And they're like, no, that's a commit. That's a commit. He's been committed for 2 years. And you look, and they're like wearing pacifiers, and they're running in slow-mo. It's middle school film. Can you imagine what the staff is going to say in 2 years, the new staff?
But just look at how he throws guys open. Look at his poise. Look at how he goes through progressions.
Look at how he does pre-cal. He's good in pre-cal. Whatever people take in seventh grade. I don't know. I think I took pre-cal in seventh grade.
I guess when I read that initial headline, I thought, okay, you know, maybe this is a one-time thing that Jim Harbaugh happened to offer this 13-year-old that one time. And then I see the headline that he's offered six middle schoolers over his time there. So I think it's becoming a problem for Harbaugh.
You know,
becoming a problem.
You know, when you offer, you know, by the time they get to freshman year, they're not hungry anymore. They've never had to work for anything. They literally don't know what it's like to go into their freshman year of high school without a scholarship offer.
Quack, this is the definition of peaking in middle school.
Honestly, when's the last time a great player was offered in middle school? Like, you would think.
I don't know.
You would think if it's happening. Like, people say they do
people
it in basketball
all the
time.
People don't normally do this.
I want to know when a McDonald's All-American that ends up being a first-round draft pick and is impactful, when that guy was offered in middle school.
You know who does already have offers who's in middle school?
Who's that?
LeBron James Jr. That's the one example I can think of.
I mean, I would expect.
But that makes a little bit of sense.
Right, of course. I would expect it not pan out. When's the last time we saw a great player whose story began with he was offered in eighth grade? They're not out there. I don't understand. I really don't understand. Why? At some point this week, somebody in college football is going to make a choice that I understand and comprehend. Sometime, somewhere, somebody's going to make it. You know the one decision that was made when Oklahoma was like, you're right, Austin Kendall, you can go to West Virginia. That was a good decision when they rescinded their objection to that and they let him freely go. That's the one time anybody did anything make sense, but it was preceded by a decision that didn't make sense. That was poor. No one is making decisions that I even understand. I can't even defend these. I can't even defend offering a middle school. If you show me the empirical evidence that said that guys who were offered as middle school end up being stars in your program, I'm down. but I can't think of one, not one guy who was offered in middle school that has amounted to anything in any sport.
Here's the thing. If you see a middle schooler and he just blows you away, right, and you think he's a once-in-a-generation talent, I'm talking maybe he's a 6'7 middle schooler or something. If you do it that one time, if you offer the one middle schooler the one time, okay. But this is literally part of their recruiting strategy. How many seventh graders have we offered this year? Just one? That's not enough. What are we doing? That is what Michigan has become.
That's awesome. 654 roars at over 654-7627. Do I get to choose again?
Yes. Okay. You have two categories left. You have this college basketball story, which is a feel-good story in many ways. And then you have Florida Man.
You know what? Give me college basketball. Okay. I need a feel-good story after that. I need a feel-good story.
All right. This story is now a little old because this happened on Monday, but we all know Syracuse went to Cameron and beat Duke on Monday. And this headline comes from CBS Sports. Syracuse fan keeps promise, donates $175,000 to Boys and Girls Clubs after upset of number one Duke.
Wow.
This is pretty cool. Syracuse fan Adam Weitzman, I believe, is making good on a pregame promise made to Jim Boeheim and social media to fork over $175,000 in donations to Boys and Girls Clubs in four different locations across New York following Syracuse's win. He's a successful businessman who is the CEO of a recycling and shredding business. So there you go. He tweeted this before the game. This was at 1 o'clock the day of the game. If Syracuse men's basketball beats Duke today, I'll donate $150,000 to local Boys and Girls Clubs. Go Orange. Of course, they won. And he actually is up the ante. He's donated to four different clubs $50,000 and then also added $25,000 to a different one. So I think he ended up donating more than he even said. So this is pretty cool.
That's very cool. Can you imagine that conversation with Boeheim? I'm sure Boeheim, with a smile on his face, was just beaming when he heard the guy say, if you can go up there and beat Duke by some miracle, I'll give six figures to charity. I'm not sure Boeheim probably enjoyed that very much.
He's got
a great relationship with the guy.
Right, he probably thought, you think we have no chance? It's a little bit of an insult, right? If you guys do this absolutely unbelievable thing, then I'll give a bunch of money to charity. And Boeheim thought, you know, I am Jim Boeheim. I've beaten Duke before. I could possibly do it again.
Mike in Simpsonville says, so basically Tony Soprano is donating $175,000 to charity. You know what? That is a feel-good story. I appreciate the feel-good story. I'm just kind of wondering when the guy told Boeheim, like before the game, by some miracle, I'll do it.
Well, knowing Jim Boeheim and the full spectrum of emotions he shows on a daily basis, I'm sure he showed a lot of emotion then.
You think he responded like this with his hand half over
right.
his mouth?
And at a Denny's.
Leaning his nose up on the microphone and talking like both up and down into the microphone simultaneously? Do you think he answered the question like that with a little shrug?
I think he has a little Belichick in him.
He does.
Boeheim does.
No.
He did say that Zion was a better version of Charles Barkley because Zion's not fat, which I thought was a great quote.
That is a great quote. And that's actually a fairly decent comparison.
I think it is a pretty decent comparison.
It is.
Yeah. All right, Quack, I just got to be honest. The final hump day headline is a Florida Man story.
Florida Man for 1,000.
And it is not as uplifting as the previous one. Okay, so Quack and I are on this new kick where every crazy story that you see, which this is something that we are now focused on, but this has been a theory for a while. Every crazy story you see, or at least most of them, the headline begins with Florida Man, because everything crazy happens in Florida. And if you just Google Florida Man, I mean, you will be shocked at the stories you see. Most of them I cannot read on air. You just can't do it because either they're really tragic or just really inappropriate.
Basically, 90% of the Florida Man stories are so funny, they're not safe for work
right.
or for the FCC.
Right.
But that's why they're funny.
But this one is safe for work. It's just absurd. Okay, here's your Florida Man story from NBC2. Not sure what that means or where that is. Florida man found in his underwear rolling around parking lot in an office chair.
It is truly Mad Libs. Every single one of these is a Mad Lib. It's just, you never know what's going to fill in the blank. Florida man verbing blank in blank. You just don't know what it is. Oh.
Let's go to Bonita Springs, Florida for the story.
Bonita Springs, Florida has a story.
Lee County deputies were called to Bonita Springs Shopping Plaza after someone said a man wearing only shoes and underwear was rolling around the parking lot in an office chair. When deputies showed up to the plaza on Chamber of Commerce Drive, the man was hitting a windshield wiper blade against an SUV.
Again, it's Mad Libs. It's Mad Libs. He just read.
Deputies think the man was either drunk or on drugs because he could not answer. No. He could not answer why he wasn't wearing clothes or how he got to the parking lot.
You know, he was just embarrassed. He was embarrassed.
It gets better. I can't even believe it gets better. One driver who had his Porsche parked in the lot told deputies the man dented his car and the man's clothing was on the ground next to it. A minivan nearby also had a cracked windshield. This is the best part. Deputies also think the man took furniture from a nearby Buffalo Wild Wings and scattered it around the parking lot.
What? So he's just chugging furniture around a Buffalo Wild Wings parking lot?
No, he stole it.
Is he naked?
He's got underwear on. He stole it from a nearby Buffalo Wild Wings and scattered it around this parking lot.
The parking lot where he is now. Oh, okay. Okay. How did he get it there?
There's more. The man's car was found in the parking lot. A plastic bottle of alcohol was under one of the tires.
Yep.
The story concludes as such. Deputies could not locate anyone that witnessed the man damaging the cars. His wife and sister picked him up from the plaza. The man was not arrested.
just sent him on his way. Just return the furniture to Buffalo Wild Wings. Hey, sorry, it's going to be a little bit of a longer wait. Guy in his underwear just ran in here, grabbed the chairs, and fled. We don't know where our chairs are. How many chairs are we missing? Nine. He took nine chairs, just scattered it all over the parking lot.
I just don't know where they, like, how did they come to the conclusion that he took furniture from the nearby Buffalo Wild Wings? Did it have Buffalo Wild Wings logos on it just in the parking lot?
It's got to be, I mean, it had to be like, you know, he's coming over there like, you know, they get on the blotter and like, we got a 6, 7, 8 in progress. So we've got a potential furniture heist from Buffalo Wild Wings. And he's like, all right, I'll deal with that after this. And then he's like, what are the odds? Feed two birds with one scone. That's what we're doing. We're feeding two birds with one scone right here. We're going to deal with both of these cases. Boy, what a day. Time to grab lunch. Boy, what a morning this is. Oh, mercy. Florida man, you never cease to amaze us.
You never, ever let us down, Florida man. Thank you for your contributions to the show.
You know, if you pray for society, I'm with you. I think we should pray for society. But in the meantime, you have to enjoy stories like this. While we're praying for the salvation of our kind in our day, you have to be thankful for stories like this to just get you through a day. All right, hour two continues. We'll go back to the phone. Stay with us. More to come Out of Bounds in a moment.
You don't have to wait for a win to start celebrating. The Upstate South Carolina Boat Show is back, and we have everything you need for living it up on the water. So whether you're looking for speed, fish, or a weekend cruiser, you'll find the best selection of this year's newest boat models, as well as the latest gear and accessories for the whole team. Go Tigers! And go to the Upstate South Carolina Boat Show, January 24th through the 27th at the Greenville Convention Center. Visit upstatescboatshow.com for more.
Up next, it's Don Munson with your daily Tiger Update, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union on the Clemson Tigers Network.
Relax, Clemson students, faculty, staff, and IPTE members. You can join Founders Federal Credit Union with convenient services like the Founders app with mobile deposit, Founders online, and online applications. You can spend less time in our office and more time cheering on your Clemson Tigers. For product information, visit foundersfcu.com. Not a Founders member? Visit relaxjoinfounders.com to see if you qualify for membership. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA and a proud partner of Clemson Athletics.
Well, hi, everybody, and welcome to the show. The Clemson men's basketball team picked up a big win in the ACC last night, 72-60 over the Yellow Jackets of Georgia Tech. The win improved Clemson's record to 11-6 overall. It was the first win in the ACC. They're now 1-3. Georgia Tech dropped to 10-7 overall and 2-2 in league play. Marquise Reed led the way for the Tigers with a career-high 30 points. He did that on 10 of 13 shooting, including 2 of 3 outside the three-point arc. He was a perfect 8 of 8 at the charity stripe. He picked up 6 rebounds, also dished out an assist, and had 4 steals in the contest. Elijah Thomas added 11 points, 9 rebounds to the cause, and Amir Sims scored 10 points, all of which came in the second half. He also added 2 rebounds. Now, next up for the Tigers will be a Tuesday trip to Tallahassee to take on the Seminoles of Florida State, so they'll enjoy an open weekend. Don't forget, we got women's basketball action in Little John tonight, 7 o'clock tip-off time, as once again, the Lady Tigers will take on Georgia Tech. Airtime for us on network lines will be at 6:45. And our report brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union, the official credit union of the Clemson Tigers. Relax with Founders Federal Credit Union.
If you love hunting and fishing, you'll be loving every day rolling on a set of the new Yokohama Geolander MTG003 from the Pendleton Tire Company. Its aggressive sidewall has the look you want and the tread design to get you to the woods and back out. So give Zach or Joey a call today and get rolling on the Yokohama Geolander MTG003 today. Call them at 646-3694 and check them out at PendletonTire.com.
It's time for the 2018 year-end closeout sale at Edwards Auto Sales in Walhalla. Over 100 new and certified pre-owned vehicles in stock, plus 45 years of location experience. If they don't have it, they can find it. The Edwards family was recently voted Oconee's best new and used dealer for 2018 for the 8th year in a row. Remember, no dealer fees, and ask about the low price guarantee. Get in on all the year-end savings at Edwards Auto Sales on Blue Ridge Drive in Walhalla.
Buying a mattress can be a difficult process, but that can all change with one visit to Engineered Sleep. They are a mattress manufacturer that opened their doors to the public. You get factory direct pricing, a mattress made just for you, and free delivery all over the upstate. Your mattress will be made and delivered within 1 to 5 days. It is always great to buy local, but when you buy from Engineered Sleep, you are truly buying from the best. Their showroom at 627 Congaree Road in Greenville is open Monday through Saturday. Sleep like a champion with your Engineered Sleep.
The flagship station for Clemson football.
Dixon up the middle, crosses the 50, picks up a couple of blocks, comes right side, gets the numbers, crosses the 35, 30. He's at the 20, he's at the 15, he's at the 10, he's at the 5, touchdown.
We are WCCP, 105.5, The Roar.
Better than a good Florida man story, I gotta say. There's nothing better than a good Florida man story, even though, let me tell you something. The cops in Florida, I mean, do they have stories to tell? Can you imagine?
They could each write a book.
Could you imagine, like, if your dad was a cop growing up, and you were like, so, Dad, what happened today? And, like, he leads off with stories like that every single day. There's enough Florida man stories to fill a large collection of books.
Let's not discriminate either, Kwok. Florida women are also crazy. There are the occasional Florida woman story that are just ridiculous.
And we may, in the name of gender equality, we may need to dig up a few of those.
Sure, of course.
Remember in our, and I'm going to the phones in a second, but you remember in our Kyler Murray discussion, we talked about whether money was guaranteed or not? You remember that where, you know, if you get drafted, you get a certain amount of money guaranteed? A texter, I very much appreciate this, just sent us from the 864 this story out of Jacksonville. This is Michael DeRocco from ESPN.com. This is how it begins. Jacksonville Jaguars running back Leonard Fournette has officially filed with the NFL a challenge to the team's decision to void the guaranteed money in the final 2 years of his contract, a league source confirmed. Now, you might be wondering, if it's guaranteed, how can you void it? They explain. An arbitrator will examine both sides and issue a ruling at a later date on whether the Jaguars are able to withhold the $7.1 million in guaranteed money as punishment for Fournette's NFL suspension. The NFL suspended Fournette for one game without pay after he left the bench, ran across the field, and fought Buffalo Bills defensive lineman Shaq Lawson, which that did happen.
Leonard Fournette, Florida man.
Florida man.
Florida man.
Yes.
Florida man sprints across field and fights Buffalo Bill.
Basically, he apologized, and then it says the team informed Fournette shortly thereafter that they were voiding the guarantee money that remained in his rookie contract because of a clause that allows him to do so if a player isn't able to play for reasons other than a football injury. Jaguars coach Doug Marrone said the team met with Fournette last week to discuss his disappointing 2018 season, his commitment, and come up with a plan going forward. Marrone said he felt Fournette left the meeting in a, quote, really good place, so that's encouraging, and I'm excited about that. Jaguars selected Fournette fourth overall in 2017. So the point basically is this. He sat there with T.J. Yeldon, and Fournette and Yeldon both were ripped by Tom Coughlin for just sitting there on the bench during the finale where they got destroyed. It says, in addition to his one-game suspension, Fournette missed seven games because of injuries, admittedly let himself get out of shape, was caught on video yelling at a fan in Nissan Stadium, and then acted disinterested during the season finale. This is basically them trying to cut bait and run without owing Leonard Fournette anything because the guy's been a bad influence in a locker room, and so they have decided that they're going to exercise this clause and try to avoid money that is defined as guaranteed money in this contract.
I see your point, and I see how this could be kind of a warning sign to Kyler Murray, because if he goes to play baseball, he will get guaranteed money, but he will have to work his way up to a more, work his way up to the major leagues in a more difficult fashion than if he were drafted in the NFL. He'll be able to play, we would presume, early on in his career. But part of this, too, is Leonard Fournette has been a you-know-what.
Like, yeah, this pretty is much on his Leonard day Fournette. One. Yeah, pretty much his day one.
I don't
the Jags.
Really feel sorry for Leonard Fournette. I understand where the Jags are coming from. Now, the Jags did pick him fourth overall. If they had some concerns about his character, or maybe they didn't, I don't know. They still, wasted that kind of pick on Fournette. And he did have a few good years, but the off-the-field stuff has become too much of an issue. I think this is not really going to be a problem for Kyler Murray as long as he stays out of trouble, which, from what we've seen from him, I mean, he's not Baker Mayfield running around getting arrested. He hasn't had any issues like that.
Right. And that's where I'd say I wouldn't say it's necessarily a cautionary tale. But if this is upheld for Leonard Fournette, then I would think the NFL, other teams might try to push this a little bit. If they're allowed to exercise these clauses in contracts and void guaranteed money, then I would imagine that if you go to a franchise that's trying to cut costs, if you go to a franchise like, let's just say, and I'm not saying they're doing this, but let's say the Raiders, for instance. The Raiders are trying to cut costs, and they're trying to, get rid of all their big contracts or whatnot. What's to say they wouldn't try to void a contract? Any team that's trying to slash payroll, try to void guarantee money on a contract for a player that's underperforming or a bad influence or whatnot, or a player that they feel like they don't need anymore, a player that's a bit of a bust. I don't think it's necessarily a danger to Kyler Murray, but if we now can define guarantee money in a different way that doesn't actually mean guaranteed, then I think that's something that players will need to consider when they try to decide whether or not they're going to sign contracts with a bunch of guarantee money, how they structure these contracts. It'll be interesting to see if this sets a bad precedent. Now, again, like you said, this is an outlier situation. It's not like there are 50 guys who have been this bad of influence in the locker room, miss a ton of time, unproductive type players. It's not like that. But it's just something to kind of keep in the back of our minds that this may lead to more of a redefinition, shall we say, of the term. Let's go to William, who's up with us next. 654-ROAR is the number. What's up, William?
Hey, man, how's it going?
Doing great. Hope you're doing well.
I believe there's stories about Florida, dude. I used to drive a truck down there. And let me tell you something. Some of the things I've seen. I'm gonna keep this first one clean.
All right.
But I seen a naked guy in a car, and pleasuring is all I'm gonna say about that. I seen a naked guy in a rest area. I said, what do you guys do? Get drunk and take your clothes off down here? I mean, what's going on?
Look, every single story is like they have no clothes or barely any clothes. So I don't know.
Yeah, they're all idiots, man. If you ask me. But what is Harbaugh showing up to these recruiting meetings with now? Milk and cookies?
Yeah, pretty much.
Come on.
He's taking his recruits to Build-A-Bear or something, right?
Oh, yeah, he's just... He's getting to the ridiculous point, man. He needs to just go back to the NFL where he's done some good.
I don't. He might anyway, need to go coach high school. That seems like the next step for him.
Yeah, y'all have a good day, bro.
All right, thanks, William. We appreciate it. Look, I mean, you know, if Harbaugh likes to, you know, evaluate middle school talent, he may want to go to high school. And maybe the next thing, go, you know, coach at a prep school. Into 7-on-7 or what have you. Where you want to go next, Kelly? You want to go bowl stats or you want to go quarterback stats?
Well, where do you go from there?
I'm not real sure.
There are specific reasons why I don't read specific stories on air. And, anyway. Well, we do have the bowl stats, which I think are really interesting.
Let's roll through some of those. I do think these are interesting.
Well, the first one is from The Athletic. You know, both you and I love The Athletic.
Sure.
Crazy numbers from the postseason in college football. The first one has to do with Clemson. This is a fascinating stat, Kwok. Dabo Sweeney is the first coach to beat Alabama by at least 16 points since who? Do you have any idea? It happened in 2004.
I saw this on Twitter during the game.
Oh, you know
so
this.
So I'll say Nick Saban.
Since Nick Saban did it at LSU in 2004. Since Nick Saban beat Alabama. The last person to beat Alabama like this was Nick Saban. That's a crazy stat.
That's the old, you know, a good coach can take his team and beat you and take your team and beat you. That's basically what this is. In a roundabout way, that's basically what this is.
That is still also unbelievable to say that Dabo Sweeney, just this, the first part of this sentence, Dabo Sweeney is the first coach to beat Alabama by at least 16 points since 2004. If you just take out the Nick Saban part.
Yes.
That is also an incredible, incredible stat. Sticking with Alabama, Tua, he broke the FBS record for passing efficiency rating, the fourth time the record has been broken since 2011. And we talked about this in our Heisman discussions, how Kyler Murray, with one more incompletion by Tua, Kyler Murray would have had the record. He was at 199.2, his passer efficiency rating. But it seems like these quarterbacks, especially recently, have just destroyed these numbers and set a completely new bar. With Russell Wilson broke the record in 2011, then Baker Mayfield broke it in 2016 and broke it again in 2017 before Tua broke it this year and Kyler Murray broke it. He just didn't have a better rating than Tua, and they were so close. I mean, it was 0.2 difference.
I saw it was an NFL context. I saw a story, and I can't remember where it was, and I skimmed it. I didn't have time to sit down and really go into it, so I need to find it again. But it was basically asking the question, are we in a post-quarterback rating world? Like, have we outgrown quarterback rating as a stat? Because of how these numbers continue to just be blown to smithereens, it fails to give proper historical context. You feel like a lot like the RPI that like teams and systems have sort of gamed this number to try to maximize this, or it's sort of a byproduct of the way offense is played. And so, of course, you know, you don't have 9 seasons better than the best season 30 years ago. That's not the case, because the best season 30 years ago is really good from a quarterback standpoint, but it might be statistically like that. And so is there a better way to measure it? I think this shows that you need more context than just passer rating.
And what this also tells us, Kwok, obviously, is that if Baker Mayfield broke the FBS record for passing efficiency rating in 2016 and 2017, and Kyler broke it in 2018, then of course Jalen Hurts will break it in 2019. Obviously.
Obviously, because Lincoln Riley is over there just waving his magic wand and making passers out of runners. That's what's happening. Next season, you know, the only way you can go for this, you got Baker Mayfield, who we knew was good. You got Kyler Murray, who's a great athlete. Now you've descended to a guy that can't even throw. Next, you have to get an actual running back. Mark my words, mark the tape. Oklahoma's next move, they will get a transfer running back and make him the quarterback in 2020, if this works. Because that is the trajectory of Lincoln Riley.
Speaking of that, here's one more stat about Oklahoma. It's the third stat in this list. This is ridiculous, and this is an absolute credit to Lincoln Riley and Kyler Murray. Oklahoma became the first FBS team ever with a 4,000-yard passer, 2 1,000-yard rushers, and 2 1,000-yard receivers. That is insane.
That's bonkers. That is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Kyler Murray was the passer, obviously, and one of the rushers. Kennedy Brooks, the rusher, and then Marquise Brown and CeeDee Lamb, the receivers. They lose Marquise Brown. They bring back CeeDee Lamb. I am not sure about Kennedy Brooks.
I think Brooks comes back.
But they also lost the Anderson kid to injury, so
yeah.
They'll get him back. I mean, they're still going to be loaded.
They are. That's why I say Hurts is going to hand the ball off.
Is a freshman, so he's back. Yeah, it's on Hurts to activate these weapons, but that stat is ridiculous. A 4,000-yard passer, 2,000-yard rushers, and 2,000-yard receivers all on the same roster.
That's ridiculous.
That blows my mind.
What, this is what we said. It's the best offense maybe that there has ever been in history, and that is one of the... As one of the defining stats, it makes it so.
And you and I have been hard on Hurts. There's no doubt about that. But the reality is, neither of us think that he's just going to fail there. When you get Rodney Anderson, you get Kennedy Brooks, you get CeeDee Lamb, you have all these weapons, and you have Lincoln Riley, I think you're going to be successful to a certain extent. But to just pencil them back in the playoff, I think that's where we go too far.
Yeah, I mean, we just went through it, and you certainly would call them a contender, but... Again, replicating what they've had the last 2 years isn't something that just poof appears magically. You've got to have certain things in place. They have the main thing, which is the mastermind.
I'll correct myself here. Anderson's gone. It's the Sermon kid.
Sermon.
That is the
Sermon's
back,
out.
Yes.
Yeah, Anderson. Anderson's a senior. That's right. I should have called that. That's on me. That's on me. Our